to Brotherly Pod. Here it is Thursday, May 9, 2024 here. We are back. I am back, I should say. I'm doing a solo show here today. Been writing the Lehigh Valley Phantoms season recap here, because I fully expected them to get eliminated last night. And then they won! They held on and took Game 3 against Hershey. Still have an uphill battle to take that series. Have to win two more games consecutively on Saturday and Wednesday, I believe. To upset that series, to reverse sweep them. So I still don't love their odds. But they did win Game 3 in convincing fashion. Looked great, by the way. For anybody that did not get to catch that game, that may have been the best Phantoms game they've played. Maybe all season. Certainly one of the top five games they played this year, undoubtedly. Beat Hershey 2-0. Cal Peterson had a 22-save shutout. Was not overly tested, but did look... there were a couple flurries there when he stepped up and looked great. And I mean, it's kind of been the story of Cal Peterson through the back half of the season, is some of these games he looks really good and some of them he just doesn't. You can definitely see where the flashes of potential emerge when you look at this guy in games like last night, where he can just stand on his head, just pitch a shutout. I think it's his third shutout since he was sent down after getting shellacked by the Pittsburgh Penguins in, was that late February? So he's having, a stretch. He's been hot and cold through the playoffs, but overall, there's a reason why they're rolling with him. And he's looking good. We talked about this on a little bit on the Dylan show, but I am no longer of the belief that Cal Peterson is getting bought out this summer. I guess it's a possibility. It really depends on what ends up happening with Ryan Johansson. If Ryan Johansson is healthy, quote-unquote, and they buy him out or attempt to trade him, then maybe they can turn their attention to Peterson. But if Johansson is not healthy, quote-unquote, whatever that particularly means, and he just ends up on LTIR, I don't know. They could get rid of him. I mean, they probably should. See, so the thing is, his buyout costs $1 million. It costs the Flyers $3.8 to send him to the AHL next year to bury his contract. So you do get the savings if you sign a veteran backup, to a one-year deal at more or less league minimum. There are savings there, but it's not enough to necessarily pull the trigger. It's a $2 million cap hit in 24-25. So I don't know. I just think you may as well roll with him and just let Kolosov get the starts, but have Peterson there to back him up. I would assume that's how this goes. It just feels like a lot of loopholes and a lot of money for an extra year for no real reason. You just have to control LaPerriere and make sure he doesn't play Peterson every single fucking night and actually gives time to Kolosov. But that is, in part, what we're going to talk about today. Is Ian LaPerriere, prospects, and kind of what comes next for this team. And it was a very interesting year in Lehigh. And, I'm a season ticket holder. I've been a season ticket holder for years. And as someone who writes, the prospect reports every week and talks about it on this show, it's always very easy to tell who does and does not pay attention to the AHL product. And you can Google stats and point them out, but they don't necessarily tell the whole story. And I've argued with people about this, about Wade Allison this year a lot. Wade Allison had 22 points in 60 games for the Phantoms. You hear that and go, well, he must have sucked. But that's not necessarily the case. When he originally got sent down, he and Lappy butted heads. The room wasn't great there. Allison, among others, were not thrilled that they were removed from the Flyers. And they didn't get that start. He was in LaPerriere's doghouse for a while. Once the injuries and call-ups started happening later in the year, Allison was arguably their best player by the time the trade deadline rolls around. He was moved there in late February and March. He was looking great, it's just, there's certain storylines to hockey. There's more than what you meet by stats. And it's the same reason why I don't talk about junior hockey. I don't watch the CHL. I don't watch NCAA. I don't watch the Finnish Liga. You know, I can pull up stats. I can tell you what these numbers mean. That prospect X scored this many points in this league this year. Okay, but what does that mean? You know, what did they actually do? You know, the bare numbers don't tell the entire story. And I think it's what you kind of get with the Phantoms this year. Is this is a team that started out a bit messy, to say the least. You know, it's funny, for all the culture talk that the Flyers do and John Tortorella does, it's like they made their perfect little culture with the Flyers and then just pulled the pin on a grenade and threw it down to Lehigh. And, you know, Wade Allison, Ronnie Adard was another one that, you know, started out kind of questionably. You know, Lezinski, and I'll touch upon Lezinski quite a bit. I don't think he was one of the guys, but there were quite a few players that I think were unhappy at their demotions early on, and it was kind of a slog to get through there. And they picked it up, and then the injuries and call-ups happened. You know, their top line of Olli Lexell, Tanner Lezinski, and Samu Tuomala was fucking awesome through the first few months of the year. Borderline unstoppable. They were succeeding both at even strength and the power play. And then Lexell got called up to literally sit in the NHL press box and play no minutes in the NHL. Tanner Lezinski missed 6 or 7 weeks with an injury, and then Tuomala's play fell off because he lost his line mates. And he was Tuomala was their best forward for a little while, and he was pretty much by himself. And I think that that wore on him as the year went on. But on the whole, I really do think that they did the best with what they had. You know, some of those guys they brought in last summer, Rhett Gardner, Victor Mete, they just weren't doing a whole lot. You know, they didn't contribute to the cause like you would expect them to. Some of their young guys played well, but not great, not game-changing. Like, J.R. Avon was one of those guys that always was doing a lot of good things, but he had, what, 18 points in the season, which is quite frankly more than I thought he had. Just a good body, a good pair of hands, but not necessarily producing. And that was kind of the problem with a lot of those guys. Jacob Gauthier is another one who's, I don't think, actually under NHL contract at the moment, but he played the season in Lehigh. You just got a lot of decent but not great play. And when you remove these guys, you know, Brink got sent down for the dozen games or whatever it was. Point per game guy got called up. Olli Lexell finished the season over a point per game. He had 39 points in 38 games. I believe still ended up being tied. Cooper Murray caught him and tied him. But he led the Phantoms in goals. And he was there for 38 games. Cooper Marody played 68. So when the team is lacking that kind of electric talent, when it's gone, whether it's called up or injured, and you're just dealing with these guys, they're not playing the prettiest hockey. They're not playing the best hockey. They're not outscoring everyone by 5 goals every night. That's when just the sheer work ethic shines through of what these players individually are bringing to the tables. Are they playing to their best potential? And on the whole, given the circumstances, like, I did not hate what we saw this year. And it didn't fucking help that Cal Peterson and Felix Sandstrom were their goaltenders for a majority of the season. They both were not very good. I know I just put Peterson over when we started, and the back half of the season was good. He was very good after he got demoted and through the majority of this playoff run. But to start the year, he was a mess. He was bad. You know, Felix Sandstrom, when he eventually got sent down, he wasn't much better. You know, Parker Hagen, their ECHL journeyman, was their best goaltender they had statistically this season by a wide margin. You know, so when you put all that together, that's why this team kind of struggled to get out of the mud as hard as they did. But there are some guys, and you know, Elliot Desnoyer really is the one example of a prospect that failed this year. You know, Zade Wisdom has just kind of been in LaPerriere's doghouse for almost 2 years now for some unknown reason. Like, just really just have not utilized him in any kind of meaningful way, even with all the injuries this year. But Desnoyer goes from setting the Lehigh Valley Phantoms rookie goal scoring record in 22-23 to posting just 6 goals this season, including a 42-game goalless drought. And You know, a lot of people that don't pay attention to the Phantoms cite that as an Ian LaPerriere problem. And the thing with that is then they conveniently ignore that LaPerriere was coach last season when Desnoyers set the rookie goal-scoring record. It's funny when you point that out, because all of a sudden it blows their story to bits. And, you know, that kind of takes us to the man of the hour being Ian LaPerriere. And, you know, there are some... He's probably one of the most polarizing figures in the entire organization, because he's been here for fucking ever and was not very good when he was at the NHL level. And, you know, I was talking with Anthony DeMarco a couple weeks ago. We were texting, and, you know, what do you think of Ian LaPerriere? And, like, you know, I just, my thoughts on the guy, if they went out of their way and found some bona fide AHL coach, and I don't have a name off the top of my head who this would be, you know, if they wanted to fire LaPerriere and bring in some guy with a proven track record that knows what he's doing, that's continuing, you know, to build their playoff push and success and can squeeze individually more out of every single player on the roster, then consider making a change. But if that's not the case, if they're going to fire Ian LaPerriere and replace him with another former Flyer that has no previous experience doing anything, hey, we're going to get rid of you, Lappy, and replace you with Kent Huskins.
But he was a former Flyer. He knows what it takes.
If that's their entire plan with the Lappy, then there's no reason to do it. Lappy has carried this team to two consecutive postseason berths for the first time in 6 years. You know, I cannot say that he's the best coach I've ever seen. I'm not the biggest LaPerriere fan, you know, especially when he's back with the Flyers. I'm sure you can all dig up some old tweets on that one. Boy, I didn't like this guy back then. But I also don't necessarily think that he should be fed to the wolves right now. Again, I think it's easy to put the pressure on him. And there's all this talk about, you know, they felt the Toronto Maple Leafs fired Sheldon Keefe today. And the main talking point on social media is, you know, it's just a coaching carousel, right? We're going to blame the faults on the coach, ignore the roster, and it's just the revolving door that is becoming coaching. And like I said, if there's a better option out there, if they actually wanted to spend some money and hunt down a veteran guy that can do their job, I'm not opposed to it. But I just don't think at this point in time there's a reason to do it. I think these struggles that this roster has are very obvious if the storyline of the season can get followed. You know, the people that have eyes on the product, and, you know, there are people I interact with on Twitter that don't consume the AHL on a regular basis, and there are people that do. I've met a lot of fellow people on Twitter at Phantoms games that are there, that are season ticket holders, that are at games regularly. I can always tell the difference, because the ones that are there typically have an understanding of what's going on. So I don't know. I don't know if they consider, even if, you know, considering firing LaPerriere is even on the table right now. This is more just, you know, the fans want to just get rid of this guy once and for all. And let's be honest, they wouldn't fire him. He'd just be moved somewhere else in the organization. Go sit in the C-suite of the Wells Fargo Center until they fire John Tortorella and they can replace Tortorella with Lappy. But, you know, I shouldn't even speak that into existence. It's totally going to happen one of these days. You know, when Cooper Marody is the only veteran on the team that's doing anything of note, essentially, and your other guys that are there, being Lexell, Lozinski, are called up and injured, then they, you know, they took away Adderd and Ginning by the end of the year, and they traded Wade Allison, and, you know, that, you can go back. Bob Roadtruck tweets out the lineups before every game. Go through his timeline back to, you know, March, and look at some of those lineups, and you tell me whether or not that team is good, you know. But they fought. They made the playoffs. They overcame Springfield, who was in the playoff picture most of the year. The Phantoms were in on the outside looking in for a vast majority of the season. Now, I think Springfield lost something like 12 of their last 15 games or something like that. You know, the Phantoms were able to overcome them. They were able to make that move. So now, the team here in the playoffs, Olli Lexell, 4 points in five games. Lozinski has 3 goals in five games. Andre has 3 points in five games. Brink has 3 points in five games. Adder has 2. And it's just, they are back. And Otumal is hurt. He got hurt towards the end of the season, and he has not played in any playoff games, which is kind of unfortunate that he cannot return to reunite with Lozinski and Lexell back together. But, you know, it's a lot of these guys, and man, I talked about Tanner Lozinski earlier. I want to talk about this guy, and I do. I got a lot of respect for Tanner Lozinski. You know, talking about some of the bad attitude guys that were down there for a little while when they didn't make the NHL, notably Allison, I believe Adderd was one of them as well. Lozinski, man, he was handed an A immediately in a leadership role. And he was awesome. He had 17 goals and 44 points in 49 games this year. Just a key piece of that team offensively and from a leadership perspective. I think he got sent down and he handled it really well, you know? So I don't know. I can't imagine he comes back. Like, I don't think he's re-signing. I don't think the Flyers or Phantoms are going to bring him back. But I totally wouldn't mind this guy sticking around. And, you know, Cooper Marody is the other one that is losing, that they're losing as well as UFA at the end of the year. And so is Adam Brooks, who quite frankly did a lot of the scoring in between this year when everyone was called up and injured. So I don't know what the Phantoms are going to do this summer. I don't know what Danny Briere has in store for this team when it comes to signing him. I don't think there's a ton of natural players jumping this year. I think a lot of players are coming next year. You know, like Barkey's not going to make it, and Oliver Bonk's not showing up this year. Like, those are all guys that are coming up in 25-26. You know, I don't know what they're doing in 24-25, but there's not a ton of natural moving there, but their three best veteran players are done. So they got to do something, whether they bring them back or find other players of high caliber to do so. I think that's one thing that needs to be looked at a lot this year, is trying to build a much more competitive team so they don't have to grind out these wins with a questionable goaltender in net. They're going to have to work a little harder along the way. You know, again, this comes back to what ends up happening to the fringe prospects as well. Guys like Bobby Brink and Oli Lexell. Are they NHLers next season, or are they AHLers next season? And, you know, I wrote a piece about this a few weeks ago on the website that looked at how they handled guys like Allison and Lozinski, where you get this NHL run, you're utilized horribly in roles that they're not meant to be in, and they come back the following year with the idea of, hey, you know, Wade Allison, you played fourth line minutes this year, you're going to play middle six winger minutes this year. Oh, just kidding. You're cut. Going back to the AHL, and we're never going to play you again. You know, is that the fate that awaits for Brink and Lexell as well, or do they try and utilize them better at the NHL level? And, you know, this is where we'll know more once the offseason actually begins and trades and free agents and whatnot. But, you know, they've got 12 forwards under contract already. You know, if Brink struggled to maintain a spot this year and Lexell barely was given an opportunity, and your forwards are already counted, accounted for and spoken for, and are here, even if they buy out Cam Atkinson, does Brink take that spot? Or do they buy out Cam Atkinson and bring in a Nick DeLaurier 3.0 to this team just to have the veteran leadership around that they love so much? Or in the minuscule chance that they would actually add a top forward if they signed Sam Reinhart or traded for Martin Necas or whatever the case is, you know, which I am not getting my hopes up. But will these guys get worked in? And we went over the defense on the Dylan Show earlier this week. You know, there's 10 bodies potentially back there right now. You know, Danny Briere put over Andre, Adderd, and Ginning at his end-of-season press conference, which was great, but you've got Sanheim, you've got Drysdale, you've got York, Sealer, Risto, You add in the three, Adderd, Ginning, and Andre. Louis Belpedio is still under contract. And then there's Igor Zamula. And then potentially Eric Johnson. That's 11. 10 or 11 bodies they got right now, depending on how this contract situation ends up working out. And that's before they make any other additions. You know, if they wanted to find a legitimate partner for Drysdale to play with rather than Nick Seeler, then that's another body they got to deal with. You know, this team just... The Flyers have a way of collecting bodies, and none of them actually mean anything. None of them are better than anybody else. They're just the more random dudes they can have, the better, because I think that's how this works. And it's the thing that's going to bite them in the ass sooner or later. But, you know, people don't want to hear that one just yet. Breer's busy cooking. But, you know, it's going to have impacts on what the Phantoms need next year and what they do. So, I mean, if you assume that Kolosov and Peterson are your goaltending duo. Both of them are under a contract. Bjarnason's not going to make the jump for another year. Sandstrom is a UFA. At this point, I just don't. He's not coming back. There's just no way. But, you know, I don't know. I need to figure this out. And this is kind of the thing about development in the first place, is when they stunt the growth of their internal guys as heavily as they do, it just backlogs everything else. You know, if Brink starts the season at the AHL next year, then it heavily limits what Samu Tuomala can do, because they're both right wingers. You know, and it's things like that, and it's defense. You know, if Adam Ginning resigns and ends up back in the AHL, then you're just stalling Hunter McDonald's development, because now all these guys need minutes in front of him. Hunter McDonald, by the way, just on that note, you know, sixth round pick in 2022, 21 years old, left shot, 6'4", 207. One of those guys that the Flyers front office apparently really liked. And it's like, what? You know, I did not pay attention to his collegiate career at Northeastern. But, you know, you look at those stats and think, ah, big hulking late round defenseman. Oh boy, you know, what could possibly be there? But he played 11 regular season games. I think he's played every postseason game as well, all five now. But he's an interesting cat, man. There's something about him that's very easy to tell why the front office liked him so much, because he's not your typical tall oaf. He's very raw. I have no idea what his ceiling is. He really doesn't strike me as a bona fide NHLer, but I could definitely see him making a third line appearance regularly. But he moves well. He's a little raw. He needs to be polished. He took some really stupid penalties, you know. But he's big. He's mean. He's physical. He moves well. I can understand. I get it. I get what it is that they were enthralled by. But, you know, I don't know what this means moving forward. But, God, when he showed up, you know, he signed, I guess he's on ATO right now. But he comes in and plays one game, and in the first period he hurts his arm. And the word that was from the organization, you know, Bob Rotruck even said, like, he's done. He's gonna be out the rest of the season. Then he came back like one or two games later, like totally fine. Nothing ever happened, which was really weird. Yeah, because it's not the thing you see very often. I mean, for the Flyers, for any player returning from injury, you know, healthy, but to basically be ruled out of the season and then LOL JK, I'm back, and he looked good. So we shall see what becomes of this guy. Over the next few years, you know, next year when we get a much larger sample size and a much clearer vision of what this team becomes and what they have envisioned for him. Clearly they like him, and there definitely is things to like. So, worth keeping an eye on Hunter McDonald there, another defenseman that could reasonably fill in an NHL role within the next few years. So, the other late season addition that everyone is talking about was Alexei Kolosov, goaltender coming over from KHL. Played two games and, didn't do anything offensively stupid in any of those games, but one of them was essentially icing their ECHL roster. They'd clinched the playoff spot. And didn't play any of their regulars there for the last two or three games of the season. And so one of those was that. 303 GAA, 885 save percentage, but you know, nothing bad. He looks fine. A lot shorter than you would expect, by the way. 6'185" is what he listed at right now. Which I would potentially even argue he may be shorter than that. But you know, on the whole, he looks good, moves well. You know, we shall see. You know, hey, Kolosov won this game. You know, tweet out after and you know, well, what did he look like, Daniel? What are the pros and cons of his games and this and that? And I'm like, it's two appearances. You know, he's fine. I got to assume that he's going to be the starter next season, at least seeing 50-50 with whoever they make. I think the organization likes the guy. I think they're going to do what they can to get him to the NHL reasonably quick. You know, they've got 2 years now with Urs and Fedotov signed on the main roster until 2026, both of them. So they've got a couple years to do it. If injuries arise, I guess we'll see who ultimately makes the call, whether or not they bring back Peterson, as we opened with this episode with. But, you know, it'll be, he was fine. He looked fine. He was much better than fucking Krell Ustaminko was. God, Krell Ustaminko. The other Belarusian kid that just... He was like the blockiest goaltender I've ever seen. He came like right out of 1970 playing style. It was very, very odd. Was not of a... Didn't really like him that much. But, yeah, Kolosov looks good. We shall see. He's going to sit under Cal Peterson's learning tree. What tutelage he can receive there, I'm sure. But, on the whole... You know, just again, going back to the overview of the year here, I really just don't have many complaints. You know, when you understand that they kind of shortchanged themselves with the lineups and the injuries and the call-ups and, you know, especially when those call-ups were not necessarily utilized well at the NHL level, you know, as much as I begged for Oli Lexell to be in the NHL, if you're not going to utilize him in the NHL, then you may as well have just kept him in the AHL all year. They probably would have had a lot easier time scoring goals if Lexell was there, considering he was one of the two players on the roster that did it with any kind of regularity. So, you know, the thing is, and it's a development league, and the winning and losing is great. The playoff appearances are great. You know, it's not the most entertaining product in the world. You know, it could be significantly better than what they're doing right now. But in the name of development, and that's kind of the name of the game, a lot of your young guys had good years. You know, Elliot Desnoyers is really the exception to the rule on that one. And I don't know what sparked that. You know, I don't think it was necessarily Laperriere. I think Laperriere was giving this guy a decent amount of opportunities until he was about 20 to 25 games into that goalless drought. I think that's when his... ice time really dropped and was starting to play less. I mean, he was scratched in the postseason, I think, 3 out of the 5 games now. I mean, at least two out of the five. The first two games of Hershey, I think he was. So, last couple games of the regular season as well to put him out of his misery for that goalless drought. But, yeah, I don't know what sparked the Desnoyers thing. You know, if you remember back to training camp, he was the first prospect cut. This is a guy that was theoretically going to push for an NHL roster spot. He was one of the first people cut. So this went, you know, before the season even started. I don't know if he's got something going on in his personal life, if there's an injury that just nagged at him all year, or whatever the case was. But I don't necessarily think it's a Laperriere problem. You know, he gave all the time in the world to Tanner Lozinski. Tuomala was utilized well. Lexell did a great job. Emil Andre has been their top defenseman all year, looking great. You know, Adderd was playing well as well. So, on the whole, I really think, from a development perspective, they did the best they could this year, and that's the name of the game. You know, when you go to a minor league baseball game and you're watching a pitcher potentially get shelled, if you go to an Iron Pigs game and Mick Abel gets destroyed, you know, you can't write that prospect off. You know, if they lose that game, it is what it is. It's about teaching the players individual mechanics. It's about teaching the players what it's going to take to succeed at the NHL level. And in that sense, the Phantoms done a decent job. They have not hindered these guys. You know, and that's the biggest problem here. When people say, well, Oli Lexell's not an NHLer, you know, I don't know that. I don't expect him to be a point-per-game guy in the NHL, but if he's over a point per game guy in the AHL, and especially succeeding on the power play, and then he gets called up to the NHL, plays 18 of the last 40 games or whatever it was, for and averages 9.56 of ice time on a fourth line role, that's failed development on the Flyers' side. That's at the feet of John Tortorella and the Flyers' coaching staff, not Ian LaPerriere. This guy's playing top-line minutes and heavy power play minutes. He's doing his job. This is a development when it comes to failing to work them in at the NHL. And, you know, anytime I bring this up on Twitter, people always go, but Cam York, Daniel! Which, you know, they've worked York in. Forster was given copious opportunity this year. That's great. You know, those guys that are more the can't-miss level. You know, the it would be hard to screw up Cam York level. Adding them to the roster is not development. That's just obvious handling of the roster. If they... It's the guys that require the polishing, that require the development and the patience to see through to see if they're actually there or not. You know, if they plugged in Oli Lekstrom as the second line left wing with power play time and he still didn't do anything over the course of maybe half a season, you know, okay, maybe he's not cut out for this role. But how can you tell that for four fucking minutes a night playing on the fourth line? That's not what he's meant to do. You know, Bobby Brink was handled more or less the same. You know, he played a lot more games than Lexell did, but he, every fucking time this guy screwed up, he was punished for it. He was benched, he was scratched, given minimal ice time throughout the year. You know, you look at his ice time at the beginning of the year, and he's playing 14, 15 minutes a night, and at the end, he's barely breaking 10. You know, it's just, that's failed development from Tortorella and the Flyers. That's not Ian LaPerriere's fault. You know, I think the things that he could control this year, given the factors working against him, being the injuries and call-ups, I thought was the best that he could do. Two consecutive play-in appearances. They swept the Penguins in the opening round! Okay? Like, they probably didn't have much business winning that series, and they swept them! They took a game from Hershey, even if they lose on Saturday. Like, they beat Hershey in a playoff game. They shut him out in Game 3 at home in their best game of the season when their backs were against the wall. And they did not particularly play terribly in either one of those two first games either. You know, they have not had a bad playoff game yet. You gotta pay attention to the product in order to properly understand what's happening with the AHL. And that's just kind of all these guys. You know, Ian LaPerriere being this polarizing figure. People fucking hate Oli Lekstrom for, you know, reasons. I still don't understand this one. You know, they wrote off Wade Allison and they don't want to play Ronnie Adderd because they want fucking Mark Stahl back. You know, you just, if you got vendettas against the players and the sun and can't look at this objectively, that's your problem, sweetheart. That's not my problem. You know, but as someone who's going to sit here and take in this product, like, it was a decent season for the Phantoms. You know, the question with the Flyers is, was this season a success? And the answer is, kinda. You know, you failed to make the playoffs. You lost your 8-game losing streak cost you a playoff spot, which people are downplaying severely, by the way. I know the fan base is doing it, but I've been listening to some other podcasts lately from some prominent figures that are downplaying it as well, which is whatever. But LaPerriere led the Phantoms to the playoffs, and they had a top-five power play for most of the season, by the way. It wasn't until an end-of-season slump where they really, really started to struggle there. But they were hot on the power play for a long time, led by fucking Emil Andre, who played four games in the NHL for combined, like, 7 minutes and then never saw time again, despite the fact that they had a league-worst power play for a third consecutive season. You know, it's if we're talking sheer development, I think the Phantoms did a decent job. I think it's the Flyers that failed. And it's going to be a big storyline going into next season. Is, does the development continue, or do they just give up on these guys and send them back, and it's another case of Allison and Lazinski? I don't know, man. We'll have to figure it out. We'll have to wait and see. But I think my wish list is just a better offense find a couple more pieces that are dangerous, you know, especially if they're going to be wishy-washy with Lexell and Brink and stuff like that. And if Lozinski walks, if Cooper Marody walks, they need some help. You know, guys like Rhett Gardner are just not going to cut it anymore. They really got to figure something out. Again, I don't think there's a lot of internal help coming this way. I don't think there's a lot of prospects making the jump this year, especially at forward. But, you know, we shall see how that happens there. But that's my big request, quite frankly. A couple more guys up front that know what they're doing, especially if you lose these guys. But on the whole, you know, it was a decent season for the Phantoms. It wasn't the prettiest season, but a lot of that was due to factors out of their control. So we shall see, you know, what happens this summer and moving forward here. But on the whole, looking back at the 23-24 season, and hell, maybe they come back. Maybe they beat Hershey on Saturday and send it back into Game 5. I don't think it's going to happen. But, you know, I think Hershey's taking this series one way or the other. I just think they're too good. For the chances that the Phantoms can pull off two more wins against these guys is highly unlikely. But, you know, they're just better. They're a scary team. If you put them in the NHL playoffs, if you took the Capitals out and put their AHL team in there, they probably would have fared better than the actual Capitals would have. But, man, yeah, they're a scary fucking group, man. But at the end of the day, you know, overall, I thought it was a decent season in Lehigh. And they've got a lot of questions to answer moving forward about the roster and what becomes of some of these fringe guys. But, yeah, on the whole, you know, and whether or not they buy out Peterson. Peterson and Kolosov next season. He's not the worst goaltender I've ever seen. J.F. Berube was still the worst goaltender I've ever seen with my own two eyes. I stand by that one. Peterson came close. There were a few games this year where I was ready to call it, but I think he's still number two. I think he's still the second behind Berube. Yeah. But, you know, we'll keep an eye on it, everyone. I think I'll call it a day for right now. We got one more frequent flyer. That'll go up Sunday. And then be back with somebody next week, maybe. At least more by myself, anyway. But, yeah. At Dan the Flyer Fan, at @BrotherlyPuck_pod. Plenty of shit up on the website, BrotherlyPuck.com, including that piece about relocation. Did anybody read the comments on that one, by the way? People don't understand parody, best I can tell. Which is funny. Because that piece is clearly written in the most comedic way that I could have written it. Especially the last paragraph. One of my favorite things I've ever written about Gary Bettman. So just go back and check that out if you haven't. And laugh at these idiots on Twitter that quote tweeted it and replied to it. Because they're they're something. But what are you going to do with Flyers Twitter, right? Yeah. Dan the Flyer Fan _jerseys over on Instagram if you want to check that out. And until next time, everyone, goodbye and good night. Drop the gloves, let's go. Drop the gloves, let's go.